This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. And I hit the recorder against the windshield again. I really gotta get this better. Now, the question is it going to start playing? I turned it off. Nope. I still don't have the magic formula. Anyways, it's been a good week. It's Thursday today. And so I just finished up at the church, helping get the sound system set up for Sunday. So I'm heading home. My beloved is actually down in Branson at the moment with her best friend. And so I'm going to head on home, get the podcast done, maybe do a little exercising, do a little editing tonight. So that's good. All is well. We had a good week, got some things done that we needed to get done. We're moving forward. Going to have our big database cut over, not this weekend, but next weekend. So we'll go from there. So anyways, all is well. My wife did have her interview today for her license. So that was fun. There were some aspects that they needed clarification on, because when they asked my wife point blank, why do you want your ministerial license? And she said, because my senior pastor asked me to get it. Which, according to their bylaws, what they're supposed to do is confirm that there is actually a call on your life before they can give you your license. And so they had to ask her to clarify that, and she clarified that for them, that no, she had been called to ministry. At the age of 8, and had always felt a call, and the only reason she gave up her license was because at that time in 1988, the Assemblies of God had different rules when it came to remarriage, and I was divorced and we were going to get remarried, and when we did, she had to give up her license. So ta-da. And then they wanted to talk to me about the costumes. There was one guy in particular who is one of my friends on Facebook. So he wanted to talk about the costumes. And so we had a nice little discussion about the costumes. And I kind of gave him a background as to what was going on and all that kind of stuff. I think they still had questions after I was finished. But you know what? Everybody has a right to their own opinion. But that's just fine. It's just fine. I will answer to God for the things that I put my hand to do, and we'll go from there. So I don't think they will deny her getting her license at a minister because I dress up in costumes, but we'll see. I really don't think they will, because at the end of all that, the guy who was heading up the committee said, well, you know, but I mean, we are here, obviously your wife is the one who is applying to be for a license. And I said, yes, I understand. So so we'll see. But that was fine. Anyways, so writing is going fine. Got some more editing to do tonight, putting in corrections on book 18. Working on that. Should get that all put in by this weekend. And then I will turn around and start my read-through. Read-through will take hopefully about maybe less than 10 days. This is, what is today? Today is the 14th. That'll take me up through close to the end of the month. Then I'll lay out the stuff, get everything uploaded, and then I'll get back to book 19. We'll go from there. Anyways, costume stuff is going fine. I did buy some shoes for the April Fool's thing that I ended up not using, so I thought I'd go ahead and cover them and use them for National Fairy Day. So we'll see how that all goes. Working on that, and then I'll get back to the nudie suit and we'll do that. I did have a nice little encounter over the weekend. I think it was on Saturday. I'm over in the pharmacy area at Walmart, aside from all the other encounters and people laughing and getting their Hawaiian leis and wearing them and enjoying it and all that sort of thing. So a guy walked up to me. He said, okay, he said, I just need to ask you what this is all about. And I said, sure. So I launched in my whole spiel about King Kamehameha and how interesting it was. And he said, okay. He said, because, you know, I come in here and there's, you know, trans people in their dress. I said, I understand. And I think I said something about, yeah, and a lot of them are very serious. I said, I'm not really. I said, that's not. I just dress up in costumes to make people laugh. And he told me, he said, well, thanks so much for your sense of humor. I've really enjoyed. Yeah, it was nice to meet you. And ta-da-ta-da, you know, so. So, yeah. So all that stuff is good. Gets me into conversations. And all I gotta have is someone just to start talking to me. So that came up while we were talking about the costumes and stuff. You know, Lynette volunteered at one point. She said, the other thing you need to know about this, she said, is Phil is often posting on the prayer wall because he's talking to people in Walmart and finding out what their prayer needs are and posting it on the prayer wall. And, you know, we talked about that whole process and that kind of thing. It was a little bit of a stretch. Still a little bit of a stretch. But that's okay. It's all right. I'm still doing the carnivore diet thing. I am down, I think, 7 or 8 pounds at this point, depending on when you measure where. Lots of interesting things with this. To give you, for instance, usually when I get to Tuesday morning, I'm not at the lowest point that I will be through the week, but I'm down. And then usually I have a meal Tuesday evening. And then the next day, I'm up, you know, 2-3 pounds. Depending on what I eat, it might be up more than that. This is so interesting because I leave work on Tuesday. I swing by the Walmart because I can't remember why, but I swung by the Walmart. I got a pack of sugar-free beef jerky that has 0 calories in it. I got some boiled eggs. So I cleaned through the whole pack of beef jerky as I was driving home. Really high salt content. Got home, had 3 boiled eggs. Did some exercising. Then I cooked a lean cut chicken breast in butter. I cooked 1/2 pound of hamburger. I cooked a steak. I cooked probably 1/4 pound of fajita meat. Made 3 eggs, cooked it all in butter, scrambled them. Big pile in my big salad bowl, big pile of meat and butter. Scrambled eggs. Got through most of that. I actually didn't make it through all of the steak. I nibbled at the steak a little bit. But then I just put the rest of it in the refrigerator. That's going to be my snack when I get home. I'm going to eat the steak. Got up Wednesday morning, having eaten all that food, all that high-fat food. And I was 170.8. So I just barely put on 1/2 pound. Whereas normally it's 2 or 3 pounds. I don't understand all of this. I just don't understand it. It's very interesting. I would recommend to anybody who's interested, Amazon Prime Video has 2 really good documentaries on this. One is called Fat, a Documentary. The other one is called Fat, a Documentary 2. I think I've done the podcast on them. At least the first one. The second one is newer. So, really interesting stuff. So we'll see. You know, one possibility is after I get done with this month, if I'm still feeling good, and if it seems all copacetic, I might just add in just kale and broccoli and maybe my sauerkraut, because I love my sauerkraut, and avocados. And then I might just get something like an Athletic Greens, they call it AG1 now, and just use that as kind of a catch-all, you know, to get all my vitamins and minerals and all that stuff, probiotics and prebiotics. Oh, man.
Rats.
Sorry. Sorry. Let's see if it's still running. Yeah, we're still running. Sorry. I slowed down too fast. I didn't see the car coming to turn in. Sorry. To turn into my driveway. I slowed down too fast. Anyway, so, you know, that's all going fine, and I could easily sustain this, I think, as a lifestyle. Easily. Significantly less cravings, you know. I get to the end of the day, I don't need a snack before I go to bed. I mean, it's all... So it's very, very interesting. I do like cheese. And I haven't been doing any cheese because some of the cheese does have carbs in it. So I've cut out all the cheese, which I kind of miss that a little bit. But yeah. And the mixed nuts, cut them out too, which I got to check and see how many carbs are in the mixed nuts. See what's going on there because I really do enjoy nuts. But I would imagine they have some carbs in them as well. I'm getting my mail. One moment. Yeah, okay, we're good. Anyway, so all is well. All is well. So this week I came across, it's a little kind of short, but it's interesting. So I have a couple of different things that I'm going to be talking about over the next few weeks. I'm kind of loaded up there. There have been times when I've been getting a little lean on topics, but I think I'm loaded up for two or three weeks now on topics. And this particular topic, I'm going to back into my garage here, but I'm going to remind myself. You know, one of the things that's really interesting about all the things that are going on in our world is we recognize that when we are getting into things, that there might be some consequences of what we're doing. But if we've based our whole business on a certain type of model, it doesn't really matter what the consequences are because people are going to keep doing it. So I came across an article where there was a whistleblower at Facebook who has come forward and written a book and basically said that Facebook, they recognized a long time ago that their site was causing harms. And they just kept doing what they were doing. So, because, you know, that's their business. So, Francis Hogan, H-A-U-G-E-N. In 2021, Francis Hogan leaked internal meta documents that showed the company knew it caused harm. She told the Sunday Times that tens of millions will die if social media isn't overhauled. In a new memoir, Hogan says that she's trying to change society's understanding of social media. She worked at Facebook until 2021 when the Wall Street Journal published documents that she leaked known as the Facebook Files. They included research reports and employee discussions that showed that the company knew its platforms caused harm. For example, the journal reported that Meta downplayed Instagram's effects on teenagers' mental health, and Facebook helped spread religious hatred in India. Now she's written a memoir in which she says social media is still damaging due to its continued lack of transparency, the Washington Post reported. She writes that Meta profits were contingent on, quote, no one knowing how large the gap between Facebook and Instagram public narratives and the truth had grown. Why? Because, as I'm fond of saying, every entity, once it becomes aware of its own existence, has a first principle that eclipses all others. How do I continue to exist? So, Hojan believes that the only way to change that is to overhaul our understanding of social media. Quote, the reality is that culture change is hard, she told the Sunday Times. I view this book as part of how we build that consensus. Yeah, I'm afraid that we're not going to be building much consensus because what we're talking about here is money. Quote, a lot of people will die in the next 20 years if we don't solve this problem, she said. Adding the figure would be tens of millions. She did not expand on this comment. But, I mean, when you look at the mental health stats and what's happening, I think I probably have mentioned this already, but I was listening to one YouTube video that they were saying some of the newer polls where they distinguish more not only age groups but political persuasions. They were saying there was one poll that came out that for Gen Z females who are left-wing, 56% of them reported that a mental health worker had told them that they had a mental illness. So this is not hearsay. This is someone they went to for help, and that person told them they had a mental illness. 56%, which is astonishing. So in 2018, United Nations investigators said Facebook, quote, substantively contributed to the genocide in Myanmar, Reuters reported. And Instagram made several policy changes after it was blamed for the death of a British teenager. By the way, there was also reporting this week that said that Instagram has done nothing to curb child pornography on its site. So, yeah. While Meta is coming under more scrutiny, last month it handled a record-breaking $1.3 billion fine relating to data privacy. Hugen argues that more needs to be done to stop it from spiraling out of control. Meta did not immediately respond to insiders' request for comment. Okay, so there you go. It should not surprise us that these massive organizations that are making tons of money don't respond for comments to any of this. It just really shouldn't surprise us. If you watch that Fat, a documentary, what you'll find that most of what we think we know about nutrition is just hearsay or poorly based science, but we've been told it often over and over. And companies are benefiting from the fact that we don't know any better and we just keep parroting whatever we've been told about what you should eat and how much exercise you should get and et cetera, et cetera. So you see this across everything. I'm currently listening to a podcast by Brent Weinstein, and he has Pierre Corey on there, and they're talking about the war against ivermectin. That was part of the whole COVID-19 thing. It's all of it's just astonishing. It's just, but that's the world we live in. So my only advice is love Jesus, listen for his voice, go try to spread some happiness and kindness and love in the world, live out the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in everything, keep your mind stayed on him. Don't be consumed with fear and anxiety. Let's just move forward with him and do what he asks us to do. And then we'll go from there. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.